Hey, everybody. It is Pep Talks, and welcome. Welcome, everybody. The reason I went welcome is because I'm looking at my producer, Matt Rasamoto. He has a little dog, Simon, and Simon has the cutest face. And Steve Lally is not with us. He's gone for, is it 4 weeks? He's gone for 4 weeks. He's on the road. He's touring through the South. So good luck, Steve Lally. I know last time Steve went to the South, it was during hurricane season and the whole trip got canceled. But this year we don't have many hurricanes. And I have a great guest today. This guest I have known, Aaron since many years ago in New York. We met in New York. She's a real New Yorker, I think. She's also, and she also came out here to Los Angeles, and great stand-up comedian. She has a great podcast here at ATC called Sports Without Balls. She'll be touring this week, and can you, and please welcome Erin Foley.
Yay!
Now, where are you touring? That's where I want you to plug that at the top.
This Saturday, August 25th, 7 p.m. at the Laurie Beachman Theater in New York City.
Laurie Beachman Theater in New York City. Where is that in New York?
That is in Midtown.
Nice. It's in Midtown. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's a sweet little theater under a cafe because everything has to be dark.
Yeah.
In New York.
That could be cool, though. What street is it on?
I should probably know that, but 40-something.
Yeah. Just go to the 40s and yell, excuse me, because people in New York still do that. They're like, even with the GPS, they're always like,
I always got stopped for directions when I lived in New York. I probably because I don't have like a murderous face. And I'd always be like, oh, okay, all right. Exciting story right there. Anyway,
More to come, by the way. Aaron has a lot of stories, and that's the first one.
I do the show 7 hours, and I just do stories about directions. It's called Directionless.
It's called U-Turn.
It's a really fun show. Ophira Eisenberg from NPR, she's doing a guest spot on it. My buddy Jason Doody. The show is called...
Unfortunate name there.
Jason Doody. He has a good 5 minutes on that.
Does he?
So I think you have to.
I am Jason Doody, and yes, I do Doody.
I think that was his opener when he just started.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
When you're like so scrapping for any joke that works so you don't feel like you're...
You mean now, the way I am now?
Anyway, Laurie Beachman Theater on Saturday at 7 o'clock. Tickets are all over social media. And then Baltimore, 7 o'clock, August 26th, the next night, Sunday at Magoobies Comedy Club. Have you ever performed at Magoobies?
I have never performed in Baltimore.
It's a fun comedy club.
It is? Magoobies.
Yeah, low ceilings. I don't know why I just slurred, but low ceilings.
Is that right? Low ceilings?
It's a fun spot. I hadn't been there for years. So, we did back-to-back nights.
That's so cool. I mean, that's cool, too, because they're not like the usual. They're a theater, and Magoobies is a club.
Yeah, Magoobies is a club.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a little tour we're doing called Come Out Laughing, and it's LGBT and fun straight people. It's my quest to get out of comedy clubs, and so we're going to do like this theater tour. Because if you go like to like Bumbleweed America, there's no like good like
theaters.
LGBT and adjacent. So we do like straight gay small theaters around the country.
Do you only want to do LGBT stuff now?
No, I just it's a good way to
LGBT for those who don't know it means ladies going barefoot tonight. Boy, that was not funny, but
yes, it is. It's all ladies. No shoes. I mean, I've done comedy clubs for like what, 15 years, and you start.
What were your favorites?
Comedy Addict in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, that's God, Jared.
Jared's awesome.
Talk about sports fan.
Oh my God,
we
text about sports all the time.
Oh, you still do?
I was on stage at the Comedy Addict during the first run of an NFL draft, probably maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and he slipped me a piece of paper mid-set to see who the New York Giants' first round draft pick was.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, Jared's, by the way, he owns the Comedy Addict in Bloomington, which is a great club, and he's made it a great club, and it's so performer friendly.
Yeah.
The audiences are well trained.
So well trained.
Right? And I feel comfortable there.
It's the only safe space in Indiana.
It's the only safe space in America.
It's true.
But Jared, it's hilarious. He has the green room set up as a sports bar, basically, where he just watches Chicago sports teams, the Blackhawks, the Cubs. I guess he's a big Bear fan, I would imagine, even though they have sucked for a while. Yeah. But Notre Dame. He's a Notre Dame freak.
I don't think he's a lot of
Maybe not Bears, I don't know.
His Chicago Blackhawks, I think, and the Cubs, right? He's an insane Cubs fan. Yeah.
He's got tattoos of the Cubs.
Yeah.
Our other producer, Aaron is a big Cardinal fan, and we're kind of have kind of a sports bent. We're going to talk politics too. We talk stand-up comedy today with Aaron. You were saying, and I want to talk about this a little bit. You were saying, was it the other night that you came home and watched the news for how many hours?
I did back to back. I did Rachel Maddow into Lawrence O'Donnell and MSNBC, because Rachel Maddow is my the fact that we aren't best friends is a tragedy.
Have you tried to contact her?
No, but I wrote this bit and I finally like taped it a couple months ago, so I gotta like send it to her. I just do an impression of her.
Oh, you do? Can we hear it?
Well, no. I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I don't do impressions, but it's just this.
It's a thing.
I'm just saying, like, we can turn the news off at any point in time. We can do anything we want, but she has to report this garbage every single night, and she's the threads are coming out. Like, I fear that she's going to break, you know, because she starts out calm and then, I just feel like, oh my God, you know,
it's funny.
She comes unglued a little.
It's funny you say that, because me and my wife, and I don't want to brag, first of all, that I'm married and have that kind of level of commitment. But when we watch the news, and this isn't to make me seem like a pretentious person, but let's face it, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty talented, and I'm aware of the long con. By that, I mean I'm aware of the long con in the political game. But anyway, we'll watch BBC, right? And there's this guy who is so world-weary when he gives the news. His name is Mike Mike Embry. And he just kind of, after a news story about... And come on, it really is like the Syrian refugees or Yemen refugees.
Terrible.
And they say before the spot, before the field reporter in Yemen or Syria, he goes, and let me see if I can do my British accent. And I have to warn you, there are disturbing images. And after the report, which is just
the worst thing, it's Lord of the Flies, like every single day. It's terrible.
It makes me feel scared.
Yeah.
You know, that's my reaction.
No,
I get scared now.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you about the news in general, but it comes back. I just wanted to say this, that it comes back to him after this. And he just goes and shakes his head slowly.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I almost think it's inappropriate.
No,
But Maddow must be going. Like, I do think of that. I do think of that. How do these people Maddow makes millions.
Well, I mean, they all make money doing something
she's
right?
a millionaire, yeah.
And, you know, she's a Rhodes Scholar, and she wrote a book called Drift that I...
Drift?
Drift, yeah. It was about a Iraq war.
Is she gay, by the way?
Yeah. She lives with her partner in Massachusetts. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. she's a Patriots fan. But anyway, can't be good at everything. Anyway, but, you know... it's all day, right? You're prepping all day for your hour.
You are, right?
And then
we should be that. We don't have a staff.
I do.
do you? That'd be funny. You wake up, coffee.
Yes.
God damn it! Is cheese funny? Like you're talking to your partner. Is cheese funny, Harriet?
Well, I have a fake assistant, Carol, who's been with me for 14 years.
A fake assistant?
And she does Sports Without Balls, and she's usually drunk underneath the table. I'm like, Carol, get it together.
Oh, do you? I have a fake.
Oh, it's the best.
I do a fake married couple, Al and Margaret, who live on the border of Massachusetts. And it's just like, Margaret, What the fuck are they saying? Like, it's just in my head. Al, he's talking about the political landscape. The political landscape is shit, Margaret. Al, it has to be discussed so it can be healed. The only thing that can be healed, Margaret, is my lower back, hopefully. And just on and on, like blue-collar bullshit.
It's so fun.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know what I'd do without Carol.
So you refer to her, too, this drunk woman under the table?
Well, it started in my apartment in L.A. where I would do fake secretary, where you lean on the button and you go, Carol, I'm going to need, you know, and then it just kept going. And then when I started the podcast, Carol came with me. And she's had a story. You know, she's been battling the booze for a long time. The booze are winning. And she met her husband in a poker tournament in Vegas. It's excessive, but I can't stop and I won't.
I love it. It's joy.
But the whole Rachel Maddow thing is you prep all day, and then what I keep seeing is like breaking news, right? So the breaking news, it's such a shit show that a major part of the like breaking news would cover the news cycle for 14 days, but it covers it in 30 seconds because there's so much garbage. That by the time she gets started, she's like, well, I mean, I had a plan for the hay block, but set it on fire. Because, I mean, and then, you know, she just, at one point, one episode, she said, well, I mean, you know, I had the story mapped out and I had to rewrite the entire thing in makeup. So, and I was like, oh my God, she's cracking.
She must have a lot of help, though. And I think we would do better with a lot of help.
I think I'd be successful.
See, that's the thing. Once you make it, you have everything, you know?
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. A lot of people commit suicide who've made it, though.
Yeah, well, that's a good thought.
That's where I go.
Yeah.
That's where I go. And I want you people out there to know that my level of fame is beautiful.
This is a positive message by Eddie. When you make it, kill yourself.
Here's the thing, though. Let's just take... Well, I wanted to talk about the news a little bit. Like, you watched... I stop.
Yeah.
I give myself... I realize it's an addiction, the news.
Yeah.
It's an addiction. And what the news... I'm reading this book, and this is a recommendation to everybody. I recommend books once in a while. Matt Haig wrote a book called Notes on a Nervous Planet. And one thing
That's a great title.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Brit, of course.
Of course.
We don't have people here who are good. Anyway.
We have notes from a napkin. It was just like drunken beer Budweiser soak, like, get up earlier.
Talk to Carol whenever you want, by the way.
Carol. Thank God. She came with me today.
Oh, she did?
She just gave me the finger. Great.
Great, Carol.
Carol.
Is she always kind of ornery?
Oh, she's hungover.
She's hungover all the time.
And then she started drinking on the job. She puts Tito's in her Capri Sun packages.
She puts what?
Tito's in Capri Suns.
What's a Tito?
Tito's vodka.
Oh, Tito's vodka. Is there a brand called Tito's vodka?
It's huge. I hang out with gay men a lot, and they drink Tito's 24 hours a day.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, Tito's is huge.
Is it cheap?
It's literally from Texas. They always market it just like, oh, you know, I always thought it was like, oh, the number one product out of Mexico. It's literally from like Austin. It's hilarious. No, it's supposed to be good. I don't know. I don't drink vodka.
Yeah.
I can't. It makes me destructive.
Yeah, I'm so happy I don't drink anymore. And the biggest reason are the hangovers.
Oh, brutal.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't deal with them. I used to just shake. I mean, I shake in the morning now without anything.
Just because of life.
Well, of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I have to face the reality every day that, what, I have to do another 24 hours awake or whatever it is. I don't know how many hours I do.
When did that shift, like, you know, I remember
when did that shift come?
Well, the shift of just like, you know, that statement, like, there's not enough hours of the day to like, there are way too many hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's some shift where you go, oh, I also think.
Yeah. Last couple years for me.
I do think as performers, though, and then you're in like every form, you know, acting, improv, whatever.
I didn't want to brag about it, but you forced my hand.
You know, I'm a huge fan. I feel like I've lived 85 years in my some odd years. You know what I mean? It's like we pack so much in that now I go, I just go, no. And it's so fun. I go, no, I can't.
Yes, I still have all these, I call them kids now, which makes me old, but like all these people asking me to do shows all over LA.
Yeah.
And I have to turn them down. And they're so persistent.
Yeah, because they have energy, because they're in their 20s.
They have energy, and they're like, well, Eddie. And they don't offer me money most of the time. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm always like, is there a pay? At this point, I'm going, what's the pay?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to leave my fucking house. House is a strong word for what I have. I don't want to leave my domicile. Let's call it domicile. Let's call it a yurt. Let's call it what it is, a yurt. I live in a yurt on the freeway.
Down by the river.
Imagine if I lived where the 405 met the 101 in a yurt.
Oh, right underneath.
Honey, now, and I'm whispering to Karen, honey, it's 4 o'clock. There's not many cars now.
4 a.m.?
It's 4 a.m. I think we could sleep.
Set the alarm for 20 minutes.
What was I talking about? just turning down shows.
Not leaving your house.
It's like, come and perform. And in LA, it's more of a pain in the ass than New York because you have to find parking. So, a lot of times, it's a big drive and fight traffic. It's like what is it for
10 to 12 minutes? And you're like,
what is in it for me?
Yeah.
You know? And it's funny how I'm such a fucking people pleaser. I hate that term, but I am. And so I always feel bad like saying no, you know. I wind up doing it after they come at me more than two or three times. I'm always trying to help people.
Well, I mean, these are all good qualities. It's not like, you know. But
I'm
eventually
old.
You just have to go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. My girlfriend's like so good at like
Wait a minute. Did you say girlfriend?
Girlfriend. Partner. Lady face.
Oh, okay.
Lady love.
Whoa, that took me. Imagine I was like
gay
that.
Gay vagina.
Whoa. Imagine I was the guy who was like just, you know, living in Frank Sinatra time. What are you talking about, baby? What are you talking about, my girlfriend? That's my purview. Frankie, another scotch and soda.
Yeah, my gay lover, Sarah. Let's make this real clear, Frank.
Whoa. Hey, Sammy. Sammy's blacker than the night. Blacker than coal. And old King Cole. Have you ever listened to the Sinatra? Do you have silent
No, but
radio?
I have a father who says stuff like that. So yes. It's really the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, my
he's
God. My
dad, well, he's 80, right? He compliments.
My dad's 86.
Yeah, my dad literally, he was in the Merchant Marines for a while.
You don't have to. My dad did stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Merchant Marines. Yeah, go ahead.
He's really good buddies with McCain. All I'm saying is he finally met people outside Brooklyn. That's the part of the story. And he meets this guy.
That's good for him.
It's an achievement for Richard Foley. and he goes, oh, you know, I met this guy. He's so great. You know, he was, I don't know what his title was, whatever. And he's like, we were up at the bridge the whole night. You know, just made the trip, you know, just going on how compliment, you know, this guy. And he goes, he's from Kenya, black as night. Anyway, we go to the, and I'm like,
always
okay,
like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Always compliment, but that's.
I have the Sinatra channel. And again, this isn't to make anyone out there or Aaron here feel bad about my lifestyle compared to yours. But I have Sinatra. I have satellite radio.
Eddie.
And I didn't want to come out and say that. I'm sure a lot of you people are eating your shoes, but you know, and Sinatra talks like that. Like they do a lot of live broadcasts from Vegas or whatever.
Is he like in character or is it like?
I think that was a character.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting point. Like, was he in character? Like, you know, I realized that my comedy, my stage persona, is just an accentuated, exaggerated version of myself. And really, I'm kind of doing an impersonation of my dad.
Yeah.
Or this part of me, and my dad is the same thing, but like part of me that's upset about things.
It's so funny.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm so upset.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very New York and all this shit.
It's
what is your thing? Your thing? So you seem to be
I do everything in Spanish. It's new.
Tito's vodka?
Yeah.
And everything in Spanish.
I drink a lot of Tito's, and I've translated all my jokes. And my bookings are through the roof. Through the roof.
Bobby, get me the kid who drinks the vodka.
Carol, get it together.
By the way, let me ask you this, because I have these characters in my head, Alan, Margaret, and you have Carol, but I don't bring them on the stand-up stage. Do you?
No.
I feel like it's too out there.
No, it's too... I mean...
But no. I did a couple of times, and one time it went well, and the other time people were looking at me like...
Yeah.
Huh?
It really sort of depends the mood I'm in and where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes these small shows in L.A. are great because, like, I do not care.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's sweet freedom, but then you're on the road this weekend. I'm like, I have to bring my A games to New York and a paid theater and a club, you know? I can't be like, Carol! You know, like...
No, that's a funny fucking thing, though, because as a stand-up, and this isn't to brag that I, you know, again, that I talk to people in a funny manner for mediocre money. When I do the little shows, I feel like I'm so loosey-goosey. When I do, quote-unquote, the bigger shows, if I feel the crowd's a little tight, I get a little tight, and I just go to material, and I always get pissed when I have to go to material. Jimmy Pardo said to me once, yes, I know Jimmy Pardo. I don't know if you do. He's an extremely funny man. He said to me once, hopefully I never have to go to the list.
But, I mean, Jimmy Pardo is the best of not going to the list. I mean...
He's great with the crowd. There is... Hey, Frank,
crowd work
why don't
is...
you punch him? Why don't you punch him? Like, that's Pardo.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you punch him? Like, to the crowd. Yeah, punch him. Just punch him. Imagine if he did. That's just, Pardo. Imagine if he did.
So, I mean, I could just watch him for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he does much stand-up
I don't think
anymore.
I've ever seen him tell a joke. I swear to God.
Oh, you're kidding. Maybe, never saw him live?
Well, no, I mean, I've seen him live, but I mean, mm-hmm. It's all crowd. You know, it's like, I'll do his, like, Jimmy Pardo and Friends at the Improv, and it's the show I show up early for because I don't want to make sure I miss his first 15, 20.
Well, we have sponsors, and I'm going to read an ad. And,
do it.
You could chill out. I'm going to have you read one of them, I think. It's two. By the way, this is this sponsor is Love Apathy, and they've been great to us. They've been really great, and I think, you know, they've been on a couple of times, and here we go. It's 2018. Everyone drives robot cars, drinks boba, has a phone full of cat porn, and dates online. It's pandemonium. A few years ago, you couldn't string those words together and make sense, but it's the future, and all bets are off. You know, when I was young, if you loved someone, you kidnapped them from the nearest village, and if their dad caught you, you had to give him a cow. That's what life was like in the early 80s. Now we all have apps to help us buy cars, play games, and tweet insanity, all while we poop. Love Apathy is an app that can help you pick an adequate spouse using machine learning and the latest in completely random computer selection. At the end of the day, if you can't bother to go outside to talk to someone, what does it matter who you marry? And if you are desperate enough to use Love Apathy to find a mate, just swipe right on the first profile that shows up. Because at this point, you really only need someone around to delete your search history when you die. Love Apathy. Love Apathy, because meh. Okay, Love Apathy, they're great. They really tailor it to the
modern.
Those are written by Matt Rosamoto, our producer.
Hysterical.
And they're real ads, and they're real people, and they're great people.
Yeah, I like the
I don't know if
cow
I,
in
if
the
I,
village line.
So we were talking about stand-up and that kind of thing. I want to talk a little about sports with you since because I don't talk about – like I kind of hide. It's great that you put it out there. But because I want to come off like an intellectual, like I'm a big, big left winger. You know, I'm way to the left of Maddow. You know what I mean? Like way.
Burn this shit down?
Well, at this point, yeah. For me, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I hope there's some really progressive candidates, you know, but as Ted Berrigan the activist priest said, if elections worked, they would not be legal. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
I know it's, that you're more civilized than me, but...
No, I can't. I try to be as positive as... Like, when you were talking about taking breaks, I for sure took a huge break.
I never finished that thought. Yeah, the news, what Matt Haig, notes on Nervous Planet, he said, because he went through, and I have this, I don't know if you do, I don't think you do, but I just suffer from panic attacks occasionally. And I had to go on meds for it, you know? And, depression. Yeah. It's happened to me later in life. Yeah. Fuck. And I think a lot of it, and what he did, he said he looked at the world around him and he said, what's triggering me or how am I feeding it? And the world, especially this country now, is fucking insane.
It's insane.
I mean, you go on social media and people are fighting still over Hillary and Bernie. I mean, the left blaming the left. You know what I mean? And it's really crazy. And Trump is
igniting.
Such, he's igniting
everything.
He's a human piece of shit.
He's our president.
He's the president. And it's but the scariest thought to me is not him, but the fucking people who, I mean,
just blind. There's
a violent population here in America that's scary, and people don't have health care, and it just goes on and on. And what Matt Haig said about the news is, he said, what they know and how they market the fucking news. He goes, sex doesn't sell. He goes, fear sells.
Yeah,
and the news is all about fear. He goes, it all hooks you into fear. And I watched it through that. I mean, I knew that. But since reading the book, I've watched it through that lens. And every story is a catastrophe. Every story is like...
We're all dying. Yeah.
Yeah, we're
all... It started the local news in Florida. And now it's gone national. When my parents moved down to Florida 12 years ago, they put on the news. I go, oh my God, it's fear, 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 sinkholes, fear, fear, sinkholes, Republicans, Republicans, sinkholes, fear.
I'm not a biff of sports.
And then, yeah.
But there are a lot of things to be afraid of, too.
Well.
And if you just focus on them in
Florida,
the news.
As a state, cut that out, float that shit into the Atlantic. We do not need Florida. Why? Why do we have Florida?
You know, I have a friend who loves it there. She's taught
you
there.
You love it or hate it?
Yeah, she's taught there, and she loves, well, obviously she loves warm weather, but she loves the beach. She kind of lives near the Keys, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a nice tiki hut and five
Why do you hate it so much? Did your parents there?
It's the elections. I mean, they literally have fucked us for, what, the last three presidents? I mean, it's Florida and Ohio deciding the fate of our country. How is that humanly possible? And then I have to go to Tampa and then rent a car and drive another hour to see Mary and Dick Foley.
They live there.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
You know, it's just...
Tampa's so hot.
I know there's nice places and there's some nice people. I haven't met them. It's not one of my favorite states.
Yeah, yeah.
Although now so many states are so much creepier that Florida is actually looking kind of positive.
What are the others?
Arizona?
Oh.
What? I'm talking about states that used to be like, okay. I'm not talking about like, sorry, Aaron, Missouri. You know, deep south states where you're like, ooh, as a gay Democrat, you know what I mean? I'm like, where am I going?
Yeah.
I'm not going there. But states where you're like, oh. And I'm just basing it on doing stand-up throughout the years and seeing the changes.
Yeah. Have you traveled a lot this year?
I have.
Where have you gone?
Well, talk about Trump. Like, I was in San Antonio the last 2 years, right?
How was that? I've heard it's a good comedy town.
It is a good comedy town. But now this year, they were, like, tighter than ever.
Were they?
And I was just like, oh, come on. Now I know.
Was it about politics?
Yeah. If I start doing it and I go... And I'm talking about it's like a light dip in my act. You know, New York, I'll run the table as much as I can. But like, I know where I'm at. I know I'm getting paid. Like, you gotta, but like, you can sense it.
Ooh.
And I go, and I literally,
they're
go,
angry.
They're just like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. And I get the, I'm inundated. This is a comedy show.
Oh.
But for us as performers, I'm like, it's so fun to be like, what the fuck is happening? Right. And make it funny and make it doable, you know? I think that's
It's tricky.
It's tricky.
It's tricky to make politics.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in a place that you know is a red state, let's say. How do you talk about politics? But I always feel like people who come to my shows.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Well, they know what they're getting.
They're going to know what they're getting. But there are, of course, some people who just straggle in there. Oh, comedy.
Yeah.
Bob Lister, there's comedy here. Frank, yeah, you know you shouldn't go in. You know you shouldn't go into the comedy. You know what happened last time?
Oh, and then they want to sit in the front row, and you're like, oh, oof.
But,
yeah. Yeah. No, you gotta. Yeah.
But the news. So he says, yeah, fucking black out the news.
Yeah.
He says, which, you know, black out Facebook. You know, don't read Facebook. Don't, you know, the digital stuff, like going into the computer. And you're good?
I don't. You know what's so funny?
I've been less. I haven't been tweeting.
I have literally, like, I post stuff that because I feel like I have to. I do the bare minimum. And
me
I know
too.
None of this is good for my career, but I cannot. I can't.
I know.
Snapchat, kill me. I can't do. I don't want.
I'm on Instagram, but I don't want to do it.
I post maybe a photo a week because I feel like I literally have to. Tweet, I put my shows out, but the best is when you run into someone, and believe me, let me just say this right now, I'm a fan of living, I like Los Angeles, I never thought I'd like it so much, I enjoy living here, but when you run into someone, you go, what have you been up to, you know, just trying to make small talk, and they go, oh, you didn't hear? And you're like, oh, I will never be able to talk to you ever again. And they're like, oh, I posted on Instagram. I'm like, kill yourself. I can't, like, are you, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not on your Instagram page. Like, it's the last thing that's why I'm on literally fantasy baseball. I can go like this to the world and do batting averages and stuff that makes sense to me. You get up, you hit the ball, you run.
Okay.
I get
that'll lead us into talking a little about sports because I do the same thing with sports. As a matter of fact, there's this really cool song by a jazz guy. I forget what it was, but he goes, the only.
Oh, I can't wait to hear you scan.
But he goes, the only place to get the real score. This is the sports section. He was doing this thing about the newspaper. How all the other thing is, everything is bullshit, but sports, meaning you get the real score in sports.
You get the...
But so I kind of try to hide my sports obsession because I want everyone to think I'm a big intellectual. And
you can be both.
Right. So I kind of hide it. But I am a big sports fan, and so are you. And you're a New York sports fan. Yeah. So let's talk a little New York sports. Yankees right now.
Yankees.
Everybody's getting hurt.
I know. I have Aaron Judge and Greg Bird.
Now, you do fantasy. I do fantasy.
I did fantasy because when I started the podcast, I knew American League. I didn't know National League. And Jimmy Pardo called. He's like, Pardo called. He's like, do you want to do...
Is he a Met fan? What is he?
Chicago White Sox.
Oh, he's interesting.
Yeah, crazy.
Not White many Sox White Sox fans.
No. I guess he was
it's always
born near South Side is, right? South Side of White Sox?
I think South Side.
So he was like, listen, do you want to play fantasy? And I'm the only woman in the league. There's 12 teams.
Oh, he asked you to be the fantasy.
And I was like, you know what? I don't know anything about it. It'll be fun to kind of go through it, and I can talk about it on the podcast. And now I am, Aaron knows, I threatened every single year to stop. And now I can't stop.
Because I'm a big hockey fan. I don't think you are.
I love going to games. Live hockey games is like the greatest.
Have you gone to a Kings game?
I've gone to a couple. I just don't. Honestly, if I had a bigger budget, I'd probably go see more hockey because every time I go, I thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah.
It just, I don't gravitate towards just sitting down and watching a hockey game. Although I didn't miss any U.S. women's Olympic matches. I'm obsessed with that hockey team. And now there's an expansion women's league in New England.
Hockey?
Women's hockey, yeah.
Hmm.
So I'll watch, I'll get into that. And then
I watch women's hockey and I go, holy shit. These broads are good. Bobby, get me another scotch. I'm going to watch the broads skate. No, but they are. They're good. Like Granato. Granato.
Cammy Granato.
Yeah. I used to love Tony,
who
used to be on the Rangers. Yeah. And that's his sister.
Kessel, too. Isn't Amanda Kessel, I think, her brother?
Oh, shit. I didn't know Kessel was playing a woman Kessel.
Yeah.
Female Kessel.
Because
Phil Kessel is great.
Right? Wasn't he a Ranger at some point? Phil Kessel? No.
He's on the Penguins.
Oh, God, I hate the Penguins.
Me too. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the Yankees. what the fuck?
Yeah.
So they're missing. First of all, when Aaron Judge.
I just was like, no.
Went out of the lineup. By the way, I hope you're into baseball, folks.
It's Americans.
If
America's
you're not, we're going to be off of this soon, and we're going to go to the destruction of civilization. I wanted to talk to Aaron about how she deals with global warming. I think, and the scientists recently, just to backtrack from baseball a little bit, my favorite author, writer, he was a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist for the New York Times until they fired him because of his stance against the Iraq War, Chris Hedges. He interviewed scientists now, and they are saying that the human race, one of the models, has us extinct by 2100, which is 80 fucking years. And he said, is it 80? It's like 82 years.
Oh, my God. That's
he said that it could happen quicker. But Aaron Judge, he broke.
Eddie.
No. And this is how.
Oh, I just got real nervous.
No, but this is how I deal with nerves.
I need Tito's. I haven't drank fucking 7 years, and tonight's the night.
Oh. No, we're fine. We'll be dead before the extinction.
I know, but just to leave our offspring. That's why I don't have
kids. Me
just
neither.
To leave my unborn
children.
No, it's
horrible. It's horrible.
Baking in the sun.
But look at the state. California's on fire. And I don't mean in a good way.
Yeah. It's.
No, but.
Yeah. We're burning.
It never gets under 90 here in the valley.
Yeah.
So when I went to Amsterdam, not to brag, I went to Europe. By the way, folks, I don't know if I've been here, if I've talked to you since I went to Amsterdam. I was so fucking jet lagged, but I got to tell you, it was 70s. It was rainy. I was loving it.
Beautiful. Because it's weather, just something.
It's so weather.
How about people in the last week in LA and they go, oh, the humidity? I find weather talk in LA to be so entertaining. It brings me such joy. We have 5 days of humidity. Oh. I was literally at the bank. I don't want to brag.
Ooh.
I was depositing Eddie's paycheck. And the woman in front
of me. Good luck with that.
The woman in front of me, like the one woman like leaves the teller, and the woman in front of me or behind me, she was like, teller two. You know, and I was like, oh, someone's real cranky about the humidity. Real cranky. When the heat index goes up and the humidity, people lose their minds.
Yes. But so my antidote to being petrified about the world is to kind of immerse myself in either sports or movies.
Totally.
Or TV shows.
I mean, it's not. It's like not hard to understand where I can't stop watch. Like there's a reason. Your job stuff is so unbelievably stressful. You're like, am I going well or am I homeless?
I don't know.
I can't even tell anymore. And then, you know, and last night I go, I had like this crazy, like stressful work week. And then I go to a WNBA game last night. I see Sparks Lynx. This is the greatest 2.5 hours ever. I'm screaming like a child.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And then you just, well, I did have three
Here's
white wines. You feel like you instantly, our team won. I had some white wine. I was sitting with five of my friends. It's pure joy.
Oh, that's nice.
It's pure joy.
But here's the thing that does fuck me up is that I get so into, like, I have the Major League Baseball package, again, not to brag on my computer.
Yeah.
So I watch almost all of the Yankee games when I can.
4 o'clock. It's the greatest thing ever.
It is.
Oh,
it's in between time.
Yeah, it's great.
So I watch the games, and I get so into the team, and you're a big Yankee fan, and they were going so well, and then Judge got hurt before the Red Sox series, and they're on mortal enemies.
Ugh, and they're so good. I hate it so much.
But they killed us.
Yeah.
And one of the big reasons is no Sanchez, no Judge. But
yeah.
Judge, I mean,
He's
I knew
like
he was the kingpin.
Heart,
yeah.
It just felt like you're on a roll, and then that one. Because, you know, rookie year, they always said this about him. First game, he would stand on the top of the dugout and, like, high five. Like, you know, he really
He's
is
our
the
Jeter.
Next
He's
Jeter.
He's our Jeter.
So, and he's smiling. His parents are public school teachers. He's adopted. I mean, the story's amazing.
Yeah.
And he's such a good one that I think if you lose that, like, absolute heart, you know what, then Didi's hurt and Gray is just terrible.
Yeah. Gray. Sonny Gray. But what I want to say is that I get so into the team. And then when, and by the way, he got his wrist broken in a game against Kansas City. A bunch of, they're horrible, the Kansas City Royals. And you're figuring, oh, this will just be easy series.
Yeah.
And then he gets his fucking wrist broken.
Yeah.
And now Didi got hurt. Didi Gregorius, the Yankee shortstop, bruises. He's on the table. And now Chapman's on the table. It's all boom, boom, boom. And we need them all back. And I hope we get them all back.
Yeah.
But what happens to me is I get so into the team that when something like Judge breaking his wrists and the Red Sox sweeping his, I get distraught. And that's the downside of it. Like, I get like, oh, God, I guess I'll have to face my life. Because the Yankees are no refuge. But, of course, I find – then I go to reading about the Giants who look very good this year.
When we – you'll love this – when we got Saquon Barkley, I was...
Is that how you pronounce his first name?
Saquon Barkley. Yeah, Saquon.
Okay, Saquon.
I had like this joke bejeweled New York Giants hat that someone gave me. And I was screaming and I happened to like...
Oh, you... Yeah,
film
on
it.
The draft?
And I was like, okay, I'll put that up. That'll be my like little video at attempting. And Tiki Barber liked it. It was the only time I've enjoyed Instagram. And I was like, and I messaged him, and I was like, Tiki Barber, I love you.
Did he message back?
And I said,
that's so cool.
I said, you know, I'm so psyched we have Saquon. I said, but he's no Tiki.
Aw.
And he was like, oh, man, thanks, Phil. And I was like, I just messaged with Tiki Barber.
That's so cool.
When
that's
he
so
stopped
cool.
fumbling, he was amazing.
By the way, we have another ad, and I want you to read this one, okay? It's for the Adore Cafe. And Aaron is going to read this. And these are real ads written by Matt Rose Rasamoto, who I pronounce his name differently each time.
As you should. Adore Cafe is a family-owned cafe located in the Burbank foothills. You may remember Adore from our live Burbank spectacular show.
Hey, if you're going to fuck this up.
Well, they are back. And Adore wants all of our listeners to know about their new line of Adore Herbal Teas. Adore's herbal teas are made from only the finest and fresh local mushrooms gathered from the Griffith Park foothills. Mushroom teas have probably been known to be a natural medicinal cure-all in many cultures. Who really knows? It sounds like it could be true, so we'll go with that. I could probably Google it, but I don't want a bunch of ads for magic mushrooms to show up all over the place and have to explain it to my wife. Carol, that sounds like a lot of work. Aaron... what's with all those mushroom ads on the computer? Ugh, who needs that noise? Anyway, Adore Cafe mushroom tea could be medicine, blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. That's it.
Ah, that was beautiful. That was great.
I think I nailed it on my first time.
You did.
I tried to lower the tone of my voice.
You did. That was awesome. Now we're going to go to a phone call. We did get one message, not to brag, that I got a message. And here we're going to play it. It's from Ryan. And here we go.
Eddie, hey man, it's Ryan from Fort Myers, Florida, ground zero for this red tide bloom. I'm also a captain, so I'm definitely your Florida correspondent if you still need one. I can tell you all about the problems we've been having here because I'm on the water. But anyway, just want to tell you I'm a really big fan, love the podcast, everything you've done, and go easy on Steve, would you, man? Come on. All right, see you guys.
That he was referring to, we had a call-in. My co-host Steve Lally in the call-in was like, I don't like you, Lally. And Steve took it very personally and now all this stuff. And I felt really bad and, you know, all that stuff. So, yes, Ryan, thank you. Thank you for your call, by the way.
Sounds like he's ready to be your Florida correspondent.
Yes. Now, his name was Dick Smoker, the guy who called in.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you get
– Yeah.
It's a bit of a play on
words
from New Orleans. And so right now, what he was talking about, Ryan, and thanks, Ryan, again for the call, was the red – me and Steve started talking about the red tide bloom. Have you heard about this?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. What's your take on it?
You're talking about red tide in the oceans, right?
Yes.
And now it's all over the beaches and disgusting?
In Florida.
And, well, all over.
Oh, all over. Well, I haven't heard about it lately, but
yeah. –
And this breaks my heart. The just huge amount of fucking beautiful fish, sea turtles, all these fish, manatees. washing up on shore. And I always think it's man-made corporate pollution, possibly the Gulf oil spill. They're saying, oh, no. What's your take
on it? Well, of course it is.
Yeah, okay.
But the thing is, I grew up in Rhode Island, so there would be two particular beaches that would be like Red Tide Beach, Red Tide Beach.
Oh, really?
You'd go and you'd smell it. Like, you can't step on the beach, and then we'd be like, all right, let's go plan B, another beach, whatever. So I kind of just always grew up. But that times a gazillion was happening in Florida. But I was doing a show with Fortune Feimster in like La Jolla, and we were.
Uh huh.
Did you ever work the La Jolla Comedy Store? The condos
no. Oh,
on.
No.
The condos in a beach, like maybe 15, 20 minutes south of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was piles of Red Tide everywhere. And people were just jumping in and out. I mean,
no.
There's bugs. It was a trash.
Can't you get sick?
It was disgusting. And I was
And they were jumping in
and out?
They were
just, you know how like, you're like, is this your first time at a beach? They're throwing it around and you're like, oh my God. I literally got on the beach for 10 minutes and I was like, ew! Oh my God. And we just, but I was like, it just, Red Tide is so gross.
Yeah.
But then you think your tourist industry, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
Besides the fact that we put sludge in the water and then you get Red Tide and.
It's horrible.
How do you connect the dots? Pretty easily.
Yes.
We literally take a dump in the water. Oh, it's weird that we're getting Red Tide everywhere.
Oh, man. But, I mean, that's part of the climate breakdown and part of why I'm excited about Saquon Barkley. Because the more the climate breaks down, by the way, they call it climate change.
Right,
and
right.
My head just said, no, let's call it what it is. Or this scientist in London said, it's not climate change. It's climate breakdown.
It is climate break, but the good news is that we have a running back this year that will take the pressure off Eli Manning, and we could potentially win this division. Dallas is going to
close. It really is how I think.
Yeah.
Like, and for me, my sports obsession happened young. Like, I was into the Giants first.
Well, those are glory years, too.
I really loved it. No, they were horrible.
Well, horrible, but then
years.
Late 80s, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. I waited a long time for the first Super Bowl against Denver.
Oh,
and
Mark
Phil
Bavaro,
Sims hit 20. Mark
McConkey.
Bavaro. Mark Bavaro, the anti-abortion guy. Remember him? He was such a right winger. I don't care, though, about – I just love to watch them play.
I know. I try to block out, like, because you always have those moments where you're so passionate. But, like, with Tyree with the helmet catch, right?
Oh.
Greatest moment ever. I mean, anytime you can beat the Patriots, it's the greatest moment of Aaron Foley's life. A week later, he's like, all gays are going to burn in hell and no way they should be married.
Did he say that?
Uh-huh. And I was like, okay.
You're kidding. Okay. Tyree?
David Tyree. He actually played again. He never played again after that Super Bowl.
Maybe.
He got hurt and then, like, retired and then he just decided just to tell everybody.
It is fucked up to kind of, you know, you watching the games too. It's so funny too because, you know, politics have intruded on the NFL big time with this kneeling on the anthem, which is
missed the point. The entire point is missed. Yeah. I literally, if I have to have one more Sarah Sanders to come out and just like, football players are not un-American. Are you that dumb?
Yeah.
Are you that dumb? They're probably more.
That's the scary part.
They probably have more national pride than anyone.
Yes, because they give a shit, and that's the scary part is that they are that dumb.
Yeah, so it's so batshit crazy. Yeah, but you really have to like you have to try to. That is the hardest part. Separating. Mm-hmm. I always think politicians are always. I just feel like they're rotting from the inside. They're all corrupt, and I don't. When they're like, oh, they're fall from grace. I'm like, no, they're all terrible, right? But athletes, when they disappointed me, especially like female athletes, which rarely happens because women are classy and men are pretty, that's when you're like, no, David Tyree.
Yeah.
Catch the ball. Yeah. Stop talking. There's no talking. There should be no talking.
And Bavaro was a big anti-abortion right wing.
Steve Largent, I remember loving him, and then he was like crazy right wing politician from Washington State.
I think I remember
Lynn Swann.
Lynn Swann, right winger?
I just remember them running for office, and then you're old enough to like see their platform, and you're like, no!
Yeah.
Catch the ball.
But let's hope that Judge I mean, I just hate reading stuff
more weeks,
like,
I think about 2 more weeks.
Well, I hate reading stuff like, yeah, and then when he gets back, he's got to get his timing back, and
yeah,
you know, we're going to see how he feels when he checks his swing, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, but God damn, we need him.
I know, but isn't it crazy now where a guy, they don't say like, break your wrist. They go, it's a bone fracture. And you're like, he broke his wrist. Any other time, when
they
we were growing
a chip
up,
fracture.
You'd be like, but he broke a bone, and they're like, 3 weeks. I'm like, does anybody come back from breaking a bone in the wrist for 3 weeks?
I think that was Hope.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I did. I mean, he's my crowning jewel of my Rockford Peaches.
Oh, that's your fantasy team?
Yeah, and Aaron Judge is my guy.
Rockford Peaches.
Yeah, my peaches.
We have one more ad. We're starting to wrap up. You've been great, Aaron. And while I'm looking for the ad, can you plug your gigs again?
A couple things. Sports Without Balls is my podcast. Now, Eddie, you have to be a guest because I sprinkle
will.
In balls.
You what?
I sprinkle in balls. That's what I call it.
Definitely.
And Laurie Beachman Theater in New York City, 7 o'clock, August 25th, and Magoobies Comedy Club in Baltimore, Sunday, August 26th at 7 o'clock. And all the information is on AaronKFoley.com or, you know, just Google my name and all
right.
The tickets.
I thought that was a little much. I was ready
Sorry,
a while ago. All right, Ryder Duet. This is from Ryder Duet. And this is actually a real sponsor. The others are fake, but this is real. Ryder Duet is online writing software for screenplays and scripts. You can write all sorts of movies, plays, TV shows, theater stuff, whatever. I'm not telling you what to write. I'm just telling you that we make 10% from each sale of this free software. When you click the link in the description. This is true. We haven't made any money yet. I don't know how the money part works. Someone tried to explain it to me. I told them to take a hike. I don't want to hear someone's bullshit ideas about money. I have enough problems. However, if you wanted to write a show about a guy with lots of bullshit ideas about money who takes a hike, maybe I'd watch it. It sounds like the kind of TV show I would like. Write that show idea and write a duet. Get some Hollywood big shots to pay you for it, and I'll star in it. It's a win-win for everyone. I'm not doing a casting call. You want a Pepitone, you get the Pepitone. Write a duet. That's how this Hollywood bullshit works. So write a duet, everybody. Check it out.
That sounds great.
I want to thank you, Aaron, so much for being on. We really didn't even touch sports that much, but I'm very excited about the Giants, and I'm hoping the Yankees get healthy and beat the Red Sox. Like, it would be so great because I'm really waiting for the Red Sox fall, and my friend, who's a big Red Sox fan, great guy, Eddie Krasnick, he goes, believe me, everybody in New England thinks we're going to lose.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know if that's true, but they have that. But they've won now.
No, honestly,
they've won three times.
They came at like an out away from beating Houston last year, and look what happened.
The Yanks, I know.
Well, us with Cleveland, but the Red Sox with Houston, first round.
No, they got their ass kicked.
No, they went to
3-1.
Didn't go to game five?
No, 3-1.
3-1?
I believe so. You're the sports maven, though. You might be right. But the Yankees...
Carol! I am so sick of your shit.
But the Yankees...
Exceeded all expectations.
Yes. Yeah. They took Houston to 7 games last year, and I was like, holy... But you know what was wild? And I know this hurts Cleveland fans, but to beat the Indians, and the Indians last year, if you remember, had the year the Red Sox are having now.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Indians are kicking the Red Sox ass currently in a series.
Yeah.
But the Indians had this insane year. The Yankees beat them.
Oh, and then we'd like dismantle
in seven. Or six. I forget.
No,
what
I think
was
it was seven. I think it was back-to-back seven-game series with Indians and Houston.
And it was wild that the Indians lost, and they haven't won the pennant now. Now they hold the record. The Cubs won one.
Yeah.
And they hold the record for the longest drought.
I know. And they're so fun to cheer for. Jose Ramirez is literally the crowning jewel of my Rockford Peaches. And apparently I just realized he's like an inch taller than Altuve. I didn't realize how small the dude was.
Who's that?
He's
Ramirez. Those guys are amazing. Ramirez and Altuve.
So yeah.
Little fellas who were amazing. Altuve, when I watch Altuve, I'm like, holy shit.
How does he?
And he's
also,
hurt.
His bat speed is like a 140 mile an hour serve.
I know.
Down the pipe.
Yeah. His bat is bigger than him.
I think the Yankees will come together. We just got to hang on to the wild card. I mean, we're not winning the division. We just got to hang on to the wild card.
Also, I want to say that I'll be in Austin, Texas. September 27th, headlining a show as part of the Altercation Festival. Check that out online, the Altercation Festival in Austin, September 27th. And then I'm going to Fargo, North Dakota. And this Ooh. Is the kind of lifestyle I have.
Sure.
And I will be at, I believe it's called, I'll find that out, but it's October 19 and 20 at the, I believe it's a Silver Dollar Tavern or something. I'm going to let you guys know, but I'll post that. I'm in North Dakota, October 19 and 20, and that should be a fun time too. And I'll let you guys know what place it is. And again, Aaron, thank you so much.
Eddie, you're the best. It was so good to see you.
And I definitely want to come on your podcast.
Oh, yeah, September. I'll get you in September. I'll be back awesome. In September and I'll grab you.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you for watching the Pep Talks podcast. And we'll also release this on SoundCloud tomorrow. And remember, listening to All Things Comedy Network. Thank you, Matt Rasamoto, Aaron, our producer. What's your last name again, Aaron?
Brungard.
What? Brungard. Aaron Brungard, our producer. What is it? Brungard?
Brungard.
Brungard. Aaron Brungard. I've only known Aaron for 5 years, so, you know. And Simon, our little puppy that Matt brought. What a cutie.
So cute.
All right, everybody. Good night.